I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to the 14th chapter of Matthew, verse 14, we're beginning to read. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food," of course. "But Jesus said unto them, 'They need not depart. Give ye them to eat.' And they say unto him, 'We have here 5 loaves, 2 fishes. And he said, 'Bring them to me.' And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude." And I want you to notice in verse 20, "They did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full." Enough and more, right? "They that had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children." Now, you find an account of feeding multitudes in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I like the way this is laid out because it brings it right down to where all of us live. I want to ask you a question. Who have you fed this week? Anyone? Someone? I have a dual meaning here in where I'm coming from. Who have you fed this week? When I say that, have you shared your faith verbally or track-wise with anyone? I'm not being negative. I'm pastor, and you know, last Sunday morning we ministered on 5 reasons you can make it. And I believe in that message with all my heart, but this message is just as much in my heart as that message was last Sunday. Because if I can duplicate you, then we grow the kingdom of God. I'm not talking about a church first. I'm talking about the kingdom of God first. And we grow the kingdom of God, then we'll grow a church more and more. Who have you fed this week? Who have you witnessed to? Who have you bathed in prayer? Someone that you witness to, faith and prayer and love. Another question, many Christians are good at sharing a witness, but have you closed any deals this week? You know, a salesman can tell me all about his great ability, but I say, "Sir, where's your paycheck? How much money are you putting in the bank, sir?" "Boy, I'm talking to tens of thousands of people." "Where's the money?" Show me the fruit, because if you don't close the deal, you're not a salesman. And I know that you have to talk to X number of people before you sell certain products. I'm not questioning that. But you just don't stay in business unless you learn how to close the deal. Or at least pray for them. Take them by the hand and pray for them. Sometimes you have to know when to compromise. And it's not really a compromise, but take what you can get. And if I see I just can't go any further with it, would you let me pray for you? And almost everyone will let you pray for them to get rid of you. What they don't know, once I have their hand, then another part of this comes to pass, because as I'm praying for them, I'm going to go through the plan of salvation, pray the prayer that I would like for them to pray, and ask God that they make that decision and not spend eternity away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts, the 1st chapter, verse 8 said, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria," that was their world, And then he said, unto the uttermost part of the earth. And that's why we added the name International to our church a few years ago, because we truly are international. That's not a grandiose title, but we are international. We're international in our outreach, and we have some strong international outreach, and I do some strong traveling in the interest of missions and international reaching out. I'm going to make a couple of strong statements, and you just have to love me anyway. People are hungry all over the world. Yet there are people that are hungry in the Metroplex area. And they're not the people standing on the corner to con you at a traffic light. We've had several of our staff go to Luby's and bring them a lovely meal, and they conveniently put it behind the bridge and went back out to get what they're after, money. No matter how pitiful they look, there is help available if people really want help. You say, well, if people are hungry all over the world, but let me make another statement. There is enough food in our world that no one should ever have to go to bed at night hungry. And lest you think my statement is heartless, let me follow through with why I said that. You know why people are hungry all over the world? Because of greed and black market. And even religious leaders, that when food come to them, they put it in their own warehouses. Charge black market prices. That's why I just don't carte blanche give to everything that comes through my mailbox or everything that comes over radio or television. Excuse me, I've traveled a little bit, and I've been doing this for 50-some odd years, and I do have some understanding of how things work. I got a letter through the mail this last week, and I've noticed the last few letters for the last few months. What started out to be a genuine appeal to feed hungry people has now become total gimmick, slick copy, and I resent it. I'm smarter than that. I don't have to support everything that comes through my mailbox, and I don't. But I do want to come back to this. I've seen it as I've traveled all over the world. No baby should not be fed. You say, well, they're in all these. Yes, I know. And I'll get on to the happier part of this message in a moment. But folks, I need to talk to you as a pastor. Else you'll just be frustrated all the time. You'll be under condemnation all the time. The two money raisers of all projects are orphans and orphanages and feed the hungry type of things. And what I'm saying is, while both are worthy, I would never withhold food from a worthy person, but it's kind of like the story of giving the wine $5. You know where it's going. Sir, if you're really hungry, come with me. We'll go to this restaurant. And I've even had, after food ordered, I've had them walk out, not even drink the eat the food. They wanted the money. Now you say you're being hard. No, I'm trying to help us to intelligently respond to what we ought and should. Joy in our givers. But I don't give to everything. And I'm selective in what I do give. When I give, I want it to go where it's supposed to go. Okay? And sometimes when we say to you, in this offering, every penny that comes in goes, it does. Is that right? Office, you know what I'm talking about. And if we don't like it, we'll add a little bit to it. Time after time, we do that. Now, why am I saying that? You see, it's important to get the Word of God out, but Jesus proves to us by example that He not only cares about feeding the hungry, but He cares about the gospel coming to their hearts. Now, in another account, people had been with Jesus for 3 days fasting. Kind of boggles your mind, doesn't it? Thousands of people show up. They sit there all day while you're teaching. And they're fasting. People came because they were hungry for the Word of God. And they were more hungry for the Word of God than they were for food. And finally it became apparent that these people are going to faint and fall by the wayside. They've been here 3 days under the hot sun listening to the ministry of the Word of God. And Jesus said, just as you've hungered and thirsted after righteousness, so these other things will now be added. And they were fed. These stories are not put in there as fillers. There's tremendous significance in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John in the stories of feeding the multitudes there. But I want to make this statement. There is enough food. We need to pray that the greed and the graft and the dictators and sometimes religious people and sometimes missionaries, I've seen it all, will get their thumb off of what should go to helping people. Really helping people. There's enough food in the world to do it, and I'm not God, or I'd press the button today and say, let everyone be fed. Now, where are you going with this, all right? Acts 1:8 again. Ye shall receive power. Ooh, feel the power. Glad you do. Ooh, gotta run. Run, baby, run. I want to shout. Shout, shout. Do whatever you feel in your heart to do. But the Bible said, and you know, God spoke this to my heart, if our revival is not witnessing and winning, our revival is short-lived. If revival is real, revival reaches people. Revival results in the witnessing to and leading people to Christ and the winning of souls. The end result of all teaching should be in winning souls, to equip people to go to the harvest. Because Matthew 24 said, this gospel shall be preached in all the world as a witness, and then shall the end come. So he said, you shall receive power, you shall be witnesses unto me. In Jerusalem, Judea, in all Judea, he said, and Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. I want you to write this point down. Jesus loves people. Jesus is in the people business. Not just the numbers business, but numbers are souls. And therefore, numbers are important. Jesus loves people. You see, Jesus had compassion. Here in Matthew chapter 14, verse 14, he was moved with compassion toward people. He didn't just preach at them, he ministered to them. And you say, well, on this occasion it was talking about healing. I know that, but the Bible said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. So we understand the dual purpose. The double cure, as one great writer of years gone by said, the double cure, whether it is easier to say unto thee, thy sins be forgiven thee, or rise, take up thy bed and walk. Mark chapter 2. Jesus loves people, and people love Jesus. All day long they came to hear Jesus on this occasion. Now the disciples come. We're going to get an interesting insight here to deep spirituality. Those who have healed the sick and cast out devils and those who have done the works of God came to Jesus. And behind the scenes, we understand they said, Jesus, see that multitude out there? Yes. Jesus, this is a desert place. The wrong place. The time is now past. Wrong time. And Jesus, we've all voted together on this committee, and our recommendation is send them away. This is a desert place, the wrong place. The time is now past, wrong time. Send the multitude away. And you know what Jesus said in verse 16? He's still saying that today. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. Now, if you're not accustomed to witnessing, and I know there are people that have very quiet type of personalities. I've seen my wife more than once when someone helps her with groceries or helps her out or whatever. Joy has a quiet way of talking about Jesus to people that have helped her and served her. We all have our own way of doing it. And witnessing is not hitting someone in the head with a 10-pound Bible. And it's a lot easier to witness with a whole bunch of people and gang up on the server, you know. We've just come from church. You don't go to hell, do you? I want a tip, so I'm going to agree with you probably. Send them away, Lord. We just preach at them. We just sing to them. We get them happy. Jesus said, I feed them. They need not go away. And they said, Lord, you don't understand. Isn't that something trying to educate Jesus? Lord, you don't understand the seriousness of this situation. We're liable to have a mob scene here. We only have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And you know, that just really bummed Jesus out. He's, I didn't realize we were in such desperate need. I didn't realize what we got ourselves into. Disciples, what can we do? Where's the helicopter? Let's get out of here. You know what Jesus said? Bring them to me. Bring your loaves and your fishes. Lay them at my feet. Well, my $5 or $10 or $20 offering is not $100 or $1,000. Bring it to me. And they laid it at Jesus' feet. And Jesus blessed and break and gave. Say it with me. Blessed and break and gave the loaves to his disciples. Now, common sense would tell you that there's no way you can feed 5,000 or 7,000 people with it all in your arms. And they didn't have a Silverado or a Ford pickup or a Dodge Ram pickup or an 18-wheeler. 5,000 people. Lots of people. And we know that there was plenty of, the end result was plenty of fish and bread and fishes because they were all filled and they had 12 baskets left over. So what the disciples had to do was to take all they could probably hold on to and just start giving it out. Well, if I can't drive an 18-wheeler full of bread and fishes, I'm not going to go. If I can't fill up a pickup truck, you know. No, you use what you have. And every time they would break off a piece of bread, it would multiply. And every time they'd break off a piece of fish, it would multiply. You see, we don't have to do it all. We do what we can in faith believing, and God does the rest. We do what we can in faith believing, and God does the rest. And sometimes I really have to remind myself of this so often, because you get under this thing of, we got to do it all, we got to do it, you know. We always want to do more than we can do, and that's the heart of every true believer, I believe. But you see, we can't do it all. We can't meet the needs of the whole world. One church can't win the world. We're on the team, but one church cannot win the world. One pastor cannot win the world. But I will tell you this, how many I don't know, but I'll guarantee you when we get to heaven, there's going to be millions of people. I believe this with all my heart. Millions of people who have heard the gospel probably more overseas than here on our shores, who are going to be in heaven because you did what you could. You did what you could. You gave a piece of fish and you gave some bread and it multiplied and it multiplied and it multiplied and it just kept on multiplying. Jesus loves people. I really have to keep the grace of God on my heart when I hear so many stories that I hear. You just can't imagine people are so mean to one another. You just can't imagine that a husband or wife can be so mean or so ill-spirited. And let me just say reverently, guys, if you got a good wife, you better love her. There's someone just love to have your wife. And it goes both ways. And I like what Brother Shin said years ago. I'll give him the credit for it. They say you should give the credit the first three times and then just quote it from there on. But I heard him say it years ago, if you treat your wife like a thoroughbred, she won't wind up being an old nag. Lord, this is the wrong place. This is the wrong time. Send them away. But Jesus said, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. Hallelujah. Well, all we have is just this little bread and little fish. Bring it to me. Bring it to me. We can do so much more together than we can apart. Bring it to me. And of course, he blessed and he broke and he gave, and it just kept on. You know, there's so many things that are in my heart. I want to just make this statement, lest I forget it. Jesus has the power to save. Listen to me. Jesus has the power and the ability to save the entire world and to feed the entire world and to heal the entire world all in one stroke. There is no altar call that could swamp heaven. There is no healing crusade that can just angels throw up their wings and say, we don't know what to do with all this. Or there is no hunger situation. And I, believe me, I'm not making light of hungry people. I am not making light of that. But there's places, even here in our metroplex, where people are hungry. And the reason is selfishness and greed. And people who just sit on it or merchandise on the hardships of people. I know this is not a shouting message, but this needs to go in the mix with everything else we're hearing. Jesus has the power. If the whole world, all of a sudden the whole world, all the world believed in Jesus as Savior, wouldn't faze Jesus piece of cake. Come you sinners lost, hopeless. Jesus' blood can make you free. For he saved the worst among you when he saved a wretch like me. Yes, I know, I surely know Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. Yes, I know, I surely know Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. If every sick body in the world said, heal me, Lord, heaven could do it. Thank God if every hungry heart knew how to release their faith and touch God. God can do that. You see, we're talking about fruits of revival now. I said something last Sunday morning prophetically, and it came out of my mouth before I realized it. We're not waiting until the month of April for revival now. We're believing in revival now, right now. Right now. And we're seeing many fruits of revival right now. We're not waiting to prepare for revival, but thank God, thank God. Thank God, it's revival now. Sometimes I give personal illustrations to sort of drive things home. Pastor, how do I witness? I'm not a theologian. I'm not well-versed in all the theological arguments. You know, all you have to do to witness is, first of all, you know Jesus as your personal Savior. And you know how the most, I guess probably one of the most intellectual men of the entire New Testament, you know how he witnessed? Oh, now, if you want to just dig your heels in with the Pharisees and with the Sadducees, if you want to debate, Paul was a debater. In fact, he could debate so strong they'd say, much learning hath made thee mad. I mean, you wouldn't trip Paul up. Paul was an intellectual's intellectual, although he had a heart for God, and was a tremendous, tremendous apostle of Jesus Christ, born out of due season. But you know how Paul witnessed? You've heard me say it, but until every one of you know it as well as I do, I'm going to keep on saying it. Tell people what Jesus did for you. I once was lost. I now am found. I once was an alcoholic, or maybe I was just a good church person. That's not going to save you. I was raised as this, or I was raised as that. I was raised in church. I was an altar boy, or I did this, or whatever. Nothing is going to save you. There is no other name under heaven whereby you must be saved but by the name of Jesus. Your good works will not save you. All the money you donate, I mean, all the success in life comes to zero. All the trophies of life except the trophies in heaven come to zero. All the money you could make comes to zero. All the gold, the silver, the platinum awards will all come to zero. Some people, and even for them and for their children, their whole goal is just get a good education. Let me tell you something. Oral Roberts said it so well. I sent my son off to college, a believer. He came home an infidel. He went to one of the top Ivy League schools, and a professor warped his brain. Of course, the devil did it through that. And that's what put the seed in Oral Roberts' heart to start ORU. I sent my son off a believer. He came home an infidel. Now, you could do that and go to a Christian school. I understand. But I'm telling you, when you go to a school where Jesus and the Word of God and the supernatural and the power of God and everything that we hold near and dear is blasphemed day after day after day after day after day, unless you have an extremely strong faith in God, I tell you, I'd rather a child have a little lesser education and keep their heaven education, keep their Jesus education, than to be trained by the best minds in the world and turn out to be agnostic or an infidel or speak against the things of God. And I am not criticizing in what I say. I think even people that have a tendency to maybe be a little crusty that do a lot of radio things, the world has been touched by Nicole Smith. I'm not criticizing her. By Britney Spears. Some people live for that kind of thing. But here's a woman that took the cheap route through. One of them. Well, both have taken the cheap route through. Sold her body to be exposed. Became famous. Finally married an old gentleman that was worth, what, $90 million or whatever. And I don't know how all that's going to turn out. But what I'm saying is, my heart goes out. Because somebody didn't put something into Nicole Smith. Somebody didn't put into Britney Spears the values of life. Somebody taught these people that being promiscuous, do what it takes to get where you want to go, is all there is. Mothers and dads and grandfathers and grandmothers, I know we shout, and I'm a shouter and I love revival, but I'm telling you, our job in life is not just some other things. Teach and train. And pray over, and rebuke, and fast, and pray. It's yet to be seen what will happen with Brittany. We need to pray for her. There's a lot of other Brittanys out there. But Nicole, when you hear that, it just finally got to be such a jungle that even seasoned radio people said, I give up. This is a circus that goes beyond explanation. And yet she's somewhere in eternity. And somewhere she got the idea that if you party all the time, that you'll have life. But Satan lies about it all, doesn't he? Drugs is not the answer. Sex out of marriage is not the answer. Pornography is not the answer. Selling your body is not the answer. Jesus is the answer. And I know there was a multitude here, but there's a multitude in our world today caught up in the web of the internet, caught up in the web of pornography. Party, 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 party. You know, it hit me. I'll get out of this in just half a second. There's hardly anything you can do or see that doesn't have sex in it somewhere. From toothpaste to selling pick-em-up trucks to, I mean, it's everywhere you look. You can't even go through a food mart without seeing all kind of trash on display. And yet if we say Ten Commandments or Jesus or the Word of God or born again, then we're old-fashioned. Now, honey, we are old-fashioned. I believe in one true and living God. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe the blood of Jesus can save from every sin. I believe the Word of God. I believe. I don't know where it came from. Someone sent it to us. We have a lot of things given to us. Don't hardly have room to do what we do. But I was reading those little Ten Commandments, honey, that are there in our kitchen. And, you know, I really haven't just stopped and read the Ten Commandments for a while. You know the essence of it. And I sat there and I read each one. I said, you know, what's wrong? It won't save you. But what's wrong with the Ten Commandments? What's wrong with having no other God before the true and living God? What's wrong with not worshiping a statue? What's wrong with not committing adultery? What's wrong about telling the truth and not lying? What's wrong about not stealing? What's wrong about that? No wonder our politicians are so bent out of shape. They're guilty of probably 9 out of 10. You throw a rock in the middle of a pack of dogs, and the one that barks is the one that got hit. I'm not just trying to get a response. Folks, I feel as a pastor, I feel a prophetic anointing of God. What I say is important. I'm not just taking cheap shots. I don't want to see any girl from this audience become another Nicole Smith. I don't want to see any girl from this audience or Calvary Academy become the next Britney Spears and become so goofed up, messed up, that they've lost contact with reality. Just give me some down to earth, run around the church every once in a while, shout before the Lord, clap your hands, foot stomping. Just give me some old time religion that'll help you to live straight, walk right, sleep in the right bed, drink the right beverage. Just do what's right because it's right. The Bible even says, thou shalt not covet. Don't covet what someone else has. They're probably coveting what you have. Who have you fed this week? Who have I fed this week? I'm not just talking about food. And I hope I haven't displayed myself as being someone hard-hearted. I am not at all. John, I have to watch. We'd give it all if we didn't watch it. I was in a gas station yesterday. You know, some gasoline from a wife's car, and having it washed after that tremendous dust storm came through. And every time I've been in that station, there's always been a crowd of crazies in there. Yesterday, there was just the one girl behind, well, girl, she's a woman. She's thin. She's sickly looking. She was just getting ready to light up when I walked in, and I don't think you're supposed to do that there, but whatever. And so I made my purchase, and that little click came in my heart. You know, it's hard to give a serious witness when you got a bunch of clowns around and a bunch of goofy stuff going on. But I made the transaction, and then I said, do you know Jesus? She dropped her head and said, yes, I. And I pressed it as far as I could press it. You don't always get to close the deal, okay? She said she knew him. She said she had accepted Jesus as her personal Savior. She's not a young woman anymore. Her body was frail. She looks sickly. And then when I left, I had to go back and left my keys on the counter. She'd already lit up, and I thought, man, this girl, one puff at a time, is going into eternity. I'm not criticizing that. I mean, there's a lot more than that going on in the world. But you know, that was a witness. I did what I could, when I could, how I could. And I thought of that girl up in Colorado this summer, that as she'd served us every morning for breakfast, and the last day we walked out, I said, well, we have to go back to Texas. And she looked, And Joy had already gone out the door, and she said, "You've heard me tell the story. I just want to tell it again." She said, "Oh," she said, "y'all have been so nice and so kind to me. Will I ever see you again?" Well, she was here from one of the foreign bloc nations. I forget the exact one. Exchange, working for a while. And I just signaled to Joy. I said, "I'll be there in a moment." Went back, and she had two hands full of dishes. I mean, she was clearing tables. Not the right time. But then when they disappear in the kitchen, it's a while before they come back out again. Because really, there was no one else there in the restaurant. And I started talking to her about Jesus. And I felt that tenderness. And I said, "Would you like to accept Jesus?" She said, "Yes." But she said, "I've got these." I said, "Put the dishes down." She put the dishes down, and I took her hand. Didn't take a long time to do it. But we prayed the sinner's prayer. And you know, we went back to that same restaurant, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks later, whenever it was, 3 or 4 weeks later. And I said, "Where is Jennifer?" And they said, "Her transfer time is up. She's gone back overseas." Did not know that would be the last time, as we know, that we would see Jennifer. But I was able to witness to her. And God gave that quiet moment. One of the most rushed times I've ever remembered was it year before last, coming back from Israel, the girl going through and handling the line, people backed up in New York, and that's not the best place in the world to be. And God said, "Witness." I thought, "Oh God, you hit me at the strangest times." And she smiled, and that was an, I said, "Do you know Jesus?" She said, "Not really." I said, "Have you ever asked him to come into your heart?" She said, "No." I said, "Would you like to?" She said, "Yes." I mean, it was just like a setup. And I thought, if these people behind me knew what I was doing, because there's a pretty good line behind me, I took her by the hand. She repeated the sinner's prayer. With tears in her eyes, she assured me she would find a good church that talks about Jesus. And those behind me didn't have a clue what was going on. I think that's the fastest deal we ever closed. But it was genuine, and it was sincere. It was fast, but it was appropriate for the time. And what I'm saying to us this morning, folks, there's a multitude around each of your lives. You touch a multitude that I don't touch, and I touch a multitude that you may not touch. But let's start touching our multitude. Let's just don't be content that they hear what we have to say. Let's share Jesus with them. What a wonderful gospel we preach, that every sin can be forgiven, that you can go to heaven, that the healing power of God can heal your body, and you can be filled with the power of God, the blessed Holy Spirit. And no matter what you go through on this earth, when it's all over, you go to be with Jesus. Such a deal. Thank God for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Church here today, and if for those that hear us by radio, I'd like to just challenge everyone possible. Don't be content with the fact that you're born again. Let's share it with the multitude in our life. Tell them what Jesus has done for you. And they did all eat, and they were all filled. And they took up with the fragments that remained 12 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men. Our tour guides tell us there could have well been another 14,000. I mean, there's different estimates. I'm not trying to be dogmatic about this. But if 5,000 men were there, that many men didn't leave their wives at home. Women and children. Oh, thank God. Church, thank God for Calvary Cathedral International. But it's more than a name. We're a witness. We're a voice. We're a testimony. And even since this sign has been up, you know, there's no virtue in a sign in that, but the sign's a witness. The sign is a witness. I've had it said to me 3 or 4 times in the last 7 or 8 days. I just kept driving down 35W, and every time I'd see that sign, something would grip my heart. I just had to come and see what you were all about. Welcome. We're glad you came. What we're all about is Jesus. and the power of the Holy Spirit of God.